Our readings today speak of the nature of God, the essence of who he is. God is love, and the readings expound upon this in very particular and beautiful ways. The ways in which we know that the Father has loved the world so much, he gave his Son, and his Son has loved us so much that he gave his life, that we might know the Father's love. And this dynamic and power of the Trinity is so gifted to us that the Holy Spirit is always this power of love that is sort of moving and drawing us closer and making things happen and causing movements to come down through these ages to us. I was at a dinner recently and someone was talking about how they met their boyfriend, and she says, "You know, I never, ever, ever went here. I only went to this place. And this one time I decided to go to this other place. And there we were, standing next to each other." And around the table, the words came: fate, destiny, and a few others. And then someone said, "Providence?" See, providence is a recognition that God is the one, through the power of love, that is continuing to do things that are beyond our ability to connect and put together. And yes, we may end up meaning the same thing, but the words that are used indicate whether we understand the tangible presence of a God who is at work in our lives now. When you know Jesus Christ is bringing a love into your life, you don't have to speak about things that seem distant or happenstance or accidental. Providence is a word in which we realize that the hands of the one who loves us are at work connecting everything and connecting us to his life. And so the readings today have this dynamic of a love that is very tangible, and it's a love that is also connected to the law. And we can recognize that with this dynamic, it goes back and forth, and he's talking about keeping the commandments. And this is how you remain in love. And he's saying, even I kept the Father's commandments. And we see in the first reading this recognition that it is one who is upright, who stands uprightly, acts uprightly, one who fears him, is acceptable to him. And that oftentimes makes us clarify and understand more deeply what is the nature of love. For we can hear the word or we can speak the word and we can go round and round and just think of it in some sort of sentimental or accepting way. But the way of God is to say, I love you so much. There is a law. There is a law that will lead you to me. And when you are led to me, you will be led to him. And this isn't accidental. This isn't a way in which God is just letting things unfold. He knows exactly what he's doing. And so he gave his Son out of love for you, that you might know that there is a way he wants you to go. In this dynamic, we can think, of clarifying the word love. We understand in its very definition is to will the good of the other. And already there, we're like willing the good of the other. Well, we want what's good for them, but we get to a better understanding when we think about children, right? And we have parents here and grandparents here that have seen your children grow and now getting to this point of heading out into the world. And you remember probably moments. I did this yesterday with some parents. Tell me something about your son that, that he was a troublemaker when he was a kid. Right? And then it's like, then it just unfolds. They all have the stories. They know them right at hand. And then you figure, oh, this one was mischievous. Oh, this one was a really goody two-shoe. Oh, this one sort of was the class clown. Right? And I may not know that one. I know the glimmer of it. I'm like, I could see that. But why do I not know that one? I don't know that one because that one has grown to be obedient to the law, you might say, to something that helps them be better than who they were before. And so everyone at 22 is a better version of themselves than they were than when they were 12. Well, we hope. But we know it doesn't have to be so. But I don't know anyone that goes from 12 to 22 and becomes a better man or a better woman without having figured out, I need to follow something that maybe isn't my first intuition. I need to live by a law that helps me be in relationship with others. I need to live by an order that helps me turn my life to God. And in doing this, I discover something even more deeply than an earthly love. I discover there is one who loves me from beyond, and he has become personal. And this is the essence of the Christian message. Isn't that here's the laws that you got to live by, here's the order that you have to fit, here's how you be a good kid. The law of the Christian message is, hey, you're all kind of terrible. Let me help you out. I call it the wretch. That's my word for me. Me, at my own devices, I'm a wretch. But he loved me. And it isn't something distant, it's something personal. And when you experience the personal love of God come to you, suddenly that wretchedness gets ordered. And I might be kinda, but not so. Might be a little bit, but not a lot anymore. Because I've found a place of mercy. And yes, just like parents, maybe some people take a journey that's a little bit one way or a little bit the other. Some people, parents have really like, here's how we're going to do it. You know, and it's just like, man, it's clear. And then other parents are like, I don't know how it's all going to work, but we're going to do the best we can. We'll see if it works out. But both ends and everywhere in between want something for their child that is good. This is love, to will, want the good for the other. And so God comes into the world and he gives us parents and he gives us mentors and he gives us teachers and he gives us friends and he gives us priests and he gives us those who accompany us to help us say, how's it going? But the dynamic is we can always stop on how am I doing? How's it going in regard to the law? And forget that the law of God's love is even greater. It's something that comes into my life and, like the gospel talks about, gives me a joy that completes me in a way that doing things perfect can't. The law of God's love is a mercy that isn't something you plan. It's a surprise. And you're like, oh my gosh, how'd this happen to me? It's like a moment you can see, or maybe 10 moments that happen in a row that suddenly build to a crescendo that you think, I know who he is. And this is the gift that he is calling us to remain with. He isn't telling us to remain with doing things perfect. He's saying, remain with my love. And what's his love? His love is, I'm the one who comes to you. Then stay. And so to remain in his love is to remain in the place in which he has dwelled most deeply. Pope Francis spoke about this early on in his pontificate. He said, remember your Galilee. And what was he saying? He was saying, remember the moment when you first knew God's love. Remember that. And when you remain in that, the whole thing can flower again, even if it's down through the ages. And maybe after you're 20 years down the road and you're 42, you can think back to some days that you were in here and it can blossom again. That's what alumni do, basically. Basically, alumni come in here, they wander around. You can look at it like, you must have gone here in the past. Yep, 40 years ago, Father. And then they start talking about how they met the love of God here. And you can see it all open up again. God is saying, remain with this forever. Don't lose it. Don't leave it. Stay in friendship that helps you remember him Keep a life of prayer that helps you stay close to him. And yes, live by the commandments, because they are a way in which he most makes himself present again. I had a precarious circumstance early in my priesthood, and I offer it as one last story to some of you who are on your way. I had a woman come visit me who was in a very tough spot, and she was connected to a very prominent family in the parish. And I thought, uh-oh, however I figure this one out, it's going to have big impacts. But to love her would be to lead her in a way in which this isn't going to go well. Now, there's two options. This is the way it is. Or you're going to be just fine. Because I knew the path of many who had come to the love of God, my intuition was neither were enough. Because to say it's going to be fine isn't going to lead anyone to the love of Jesus Christ and mercy. It's going to skip the wounds that they have and the sin in their life and the mercy they need. But to pound the pavement just makes the hole darker and deeper. And I had a thought. When your boyfriend gets back from the military, have him come see me. And basically the only reason I said that was to buy time. They did come see me months later. And he sat in front of me with questions aimed right at my head. Basically saying, convince me that I should care about anything you're doing here, Father. Normally, I would try and answer the questions. But the law of God's love and the Holy Spirit was at work. And I had learned, always start from a place in which the person has experienced God's love, even if they don't know that's what it is. So I said to the gentleman who was very confident, very ready to battle, very antagonistic, I just said, have you ever had a moment in your life where you had something happen you couldn't explain? Well, yeah. I was in the military in Korea one time, and we had a day off, and I hiked up this mountain, and when I got to this mountain in the middle of the city, I got to the very top, and I turned in 360 degrees. And I don't know, Father, when I got back to my starting point, something happened. God became very tangible and present to him. This is to will the good of the other, to want for this man an experience of something that's out of this world, but it's in this world. This is what the Christian is about. He's here, and people don't know him. But you do. And you can lead them in a relationship to recognize that life is not filled with accidents, but providence. And while they may not know his name, they know the experience. And like the first reading where Cornelius and all of the others help Peter and these people along the way, you will be like them, helping others come to know his name. And when one knows his name and his love, the commandments make sense. A few years later, I ended up leaving that parish and happened to come back for some small group meeting, and this couple was there. And in the meantime, they had gotten married. I witnessed their wedding. Godfather to their second child. Been a part of their lives and watched them change in miraculous ways. And I never told them once what they needed to do. They found a group of friends that were faithful to Christ and the church, and they recognized that the church knows the way to fulfill their hearts. And after the meeting was over, the man was sitting next to me. This is years. This has got to be like 4 or 5 years of a journey with them. And he looks at me and he says, "Father, by the way, you still haven't answered any of those questions I asked you." But he knows the love of God. And it makes all the difference. I'm sure those of you who are leaving here and entering into the world still have things left you need to learn. Still have ways in which you're falling short and maybe know it or don't know it of what it is that God has planned for you. But it is my prayer that you leave confident that you can say, "I have met God's love." And because you've met him, you can help others do the same.